a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielsa Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us. If you did not hang out with us last hour, you may have missed the Players Club. Every week, Jaron Hall from BYU, Devin Cavusi from the University of Utah join us for the program. So if you missed either of those, BYU didn't have like their regular press conference this week, so this is one of the few times you could actually have Jaron Hall break down the game that was last week at the Coliseum. You can go back, download the podcast, wherever podcasts are found. It's just Unrivaled. Easy to find for you there. And then there's Devin Cavusi, a kid super excited about going down to Las Vegas and playing in that Pac-12 championship game. And it's been really fun to watch that whole thing. This is a kid who started his career at BYU. His dad coached at BYU. If you missed any of that conversation, and now obviously playing for a Pac-12 title this weekend down in Las Vegas, if you missed that conversation, go download the podcast anywhere podcasts are found. Go to KSLSports.com. You can download all of the podcasts, all the shows right here on the Zone Sports Network as well. Joining us right now on the program, our Jazz Insider, brought to you by the Murdoch Auto Group. He is Dave Locke. David Locke, thanks for being with us, man. How's it going?
I'm good, guys. How's your week been? Or 2 weeks. I didn't get to talk to you last week.
I know. Tons going on in the world of college football, of course. And with 21 games into the season, we're looking at this Utah Jazz team right now at 14-7. And, you know, people love to nitpick the things that are going with the team, things that are going great with the team and saying how amazing it is, and also how poorly they think, in their estimation, how the Jazz are doing. I was looking today at the NBA advanced leaders, because I feel like that's a place I need to spend more time in my life is on the NBA website.
That's not a good sentence. I'm sorry that you've had that revelation.
I know it's terrible.
It is probably accurate in the sense that advanced metrics and the points per 100 possessions is a far better indicator. And actually there's all sorts of research that net rating is a far better indicator of future performance than record. So, yes, you're right, but I'm very sorry that you had to say that sentence.
Well, but at the same time, I was looking at the offensive ratings there, and in those advanced leaders, Donovan Mitchell, number one. Now, if it goes along with my narrative of the team that we follow, then I go, oh, look, Donovan Mitchell's the offensive rating leader in the entire league here. Of all the things that you look at that at this, what this team is doing, where are they trending right now? Obviously, at 14-7, the last couple of games, Donovan Mitchell's last game was a really nice one against the Portland Trail Blazers. Where are they trending now after 21 games?
Well, so, I mean, the interesting one a little bit is the offense and what you're kind of touching on there, Alex, is so it hasn't felt great, right? I think if you'd ask most Jazz fans, they don't feel like the offense has been great. Now, I think what that really is we missed a lot of three-point shots early. So I'm going to get geeky here, because I got to stay on brand, first of all. And second of all, there's actually value to it. So if you had a long day at work and you're driving home and you're beginning to nod off, perk up, because this will actually put you over the edge and I don't want any crashes. So the So here's the first thing is if you actually look under team, if we say NBA stats and you go under team and you go under advanced and you look at offense, as of before last night's game, and maybe even as of this morning, we were 3 points per 100 possessions better than the second best team in the league. We were 9 points per 100 possessions better than league average. The last team to do that was the 73-win Warrior team. Is the last team to be 9 points above. So we're actually historically, or recent, you know, recent history, historically great offensively so far, and it doesn't totally feel like it. So that leads to not only interview myself, because, you know, I mean, what's really a little schizophrenia?
That would be a fun thing to listen to.
have you guys ever heard of, okay, this is, all right, so Squirrel, okay, my mind has now changed. Have you ever heard of Phil Henry?
Of course.
The great, like, radio guy?
Yes.
That he was all the voices.
He did his own voices. He'd call his own show with his own voices, yes.
Yes. It's like the craziest thing. It's the greatest radio
I've
ever heard.
It's wild to follow if you actually listen and go, this guy's calling his own show and talking to himself over the phone. It's wild.
Yeah. And then he would take callers, some of which he made up, some of which were real. Like, it's crazy. So I'm literally doing that, right? I'm doing my amateur version of Phil Henry. Squirrel, okay, back to the focus on the NBA, since we just, you know, bounced from that. So asking myself my own questions, how is it possible that a team that doesn't feel like it's that, like, clicking at that level is this great offensively? And I have a few answers for myself, and hopefully somebody's listening. One is we're the number one team shooting at the rim. We're the number one team in the league shooting on short twos, like in the paint, that little floater that Conley, Clarkson, and Donovan shoot. And we're the number two or three team shooting long twos, and we don't shoot any of those very often. So we take the highest percentage shot, which is a three, at the highest rate of any team in the league. We're shooting it average. And then if we don't get that shot, the other shots we're taking, we're shooting at an alarmingly high rate. Like, great for us. So that leads to, that's actually kind of the perfect offense. The old days you used to say, well, only the good shooters could shoot threes. Really the way to do it, they should have done the whole time, is only the really, really good shooters should be able to shoot twos because they're not worth as much. So you really have to make them. The other thing is that we're going to line a lot and we're grabbing a lot of offensive rebounds, so then we're getting an extra opportunity. And we are profiting off those offensive rebounds. I think we're at about 1.4 points per shot. So that kind of combination, it's different than I think what we think of ourselves as. Like, we think of ourselves as this three-point shooting, fast three-point shooting team.
Right.
We're doing some things differently, but what we're doing is the best offense in the league by a large margin.
But you say it doesn't feel like it. So why do you think that it doesn't feel like it, even though the statistics bear out a different story?
So here are the two plays that are the most efficient plays in the NBA. And actually, frankly, you know, the last two games, it felt like it. We played two just horrendous defensive teams, so it felt like it. And we need to play some good defensive teams and have some good games, and we really haven't played very many good teams. Our schedule now is really soft at this point. So the reason it doesn't feel like it, I think, is because the two most efficient shots in the game don't, like, make you feel like you're doing that. So one is a dunk, right? Like, if we could dunk every possession, we would. And then number two is free throws. And if you go to the free throw line a bunch of times and make your free throws, it's like, okay, wow, we were great.
The Jazz have great free throw shooters, too. I mean,
right, and even Rudy, who's not a great free throw shooter,
improved,
but makes 70%, like, I'm now geeking again, warning, don't not off.
Yeah.
A shot at the free throw line, if you get two free throws, 70% is 1.4 points, right, on average?
Sure.
So a corner three is 1.2, an above the break three is 1.1, a shot in the mid-range is like 0.8, 0.9, so, and a shot at the rim is 1.3. So 1.4, Rudy Gobert at the free throw line is actually the best statistical offensive possession that you can get. And so when Rudy goes and shoots eight free throws and gets four dunks, it's not that elegant, but it's 10 of our possessions. That's not quite perfect math, but it's close. And it's, you know, so it's suddenly 10% of your offense is at this incredible rate. So the rest of the night, you might not have to be quite as brilliant as you think you have to be. And you end up being the best offense in the league.
We were, you know, I was watching this. I was like, this is some must watch NBA last night, of course, with the Suns and Warriors.
That was so good.
And it was just, and it felt like a playoff game in the, you know, at the early part of the NBA season. And that win streak for the Suns goes up to 17, and the Warriors lose a rare game. And so I look at those two teams, and this is something I told Scott before we even walked into the building was, man, those two teams look like the Western Conference Finals matchup, and the Jazz might be getting there or might be getting to that level, but those two guys, when you just look at them, they felt elite compared to what we've seen in the whole rest of the league.
So I'm going to really give Phoenix the credit, right? They deserve it. They were at the finals last year. They've won 17 straight. They haven't answered everything. The fact they won last night without Devin Booker, Chris Paul controlling games. I've been surprised by the Warriors. I'm probably the president of the Steph fan club. I just think he's broken the game. He broke it a long time ago. And I kind of pride myself that I was early on recognizing that he was breaking the game. So I'm the president of the Steph fan club. But I'm not totally sold on that team yet against good teams. So I want to watch. They've played a really, really soft schedule. Their win in Brooklyn was really impressive. I'd like to watch them play some more games and see what they do. And we'll see as they go through the playoffs and they're playing all good teams all the time, I'll be curious to see kind of what happens there. Because to me, that's the test that I have for them is kind of – and that's, you know, this might be a little self-serving. Like, I didn't see this coming, and so I'm probably self-justifying a tiny bit that I didn't see it coming, and so I don't want to see it coming. But I'm not 100% convinced on the Warriors right now. I just think there's a lot of pieces there that just, I don't know, I don't buy them, right? Like, do I believe in Mikal Bridges? Yes. Is Ayton, the center for Phoenix, become a bona fide number one pick, and is he all that? Yes. Mm-hmm. Is Chris Paul clearly Devin Booker? Yes. Right? You run down their roster, and I think Cam, they've all learned, they've all been in the playoffs, they're all way better this year. Like, this doesn't surprise me at all. I had Phoenix as the number one seed by a large margin when the season started in my predictions. They had three players who I thought could get better, three or four players I thought would get better, and they had the playoff experience. The Warriors... like, I'm just not sold that Juan Toscano-Anderson is going to be able to have a very good playoff series the first time
he
plays in the playoffs. I'm not sure Jordan Poole is going to be able to do that in the playoffs the first time. Like, remember, they didn't make the playoffs last year. So I'm not totally sold on that group yet. So I'm not willing to give them both the Western Conference matchup. I do think that there are three teams in the West that are better than everyone else right now. And I think that's what's super interesting about, well, either super interesting or frankly kind of boring about the rest of our season, which is as much as we're going to, you know, jump off the bridge when we lose to Memphis and we lose to New Orleans, if we don't do it too often, I actually don't think it really matters.
Yeah.
Because I think we're going to be the 1, 2, or 3 seed, probably the 2 or 3. That difference gets really nominal. And it's really just going to be about whether we get ready by the 70th, 75th, and 80th game of the season. Because there's just not a fourth team right now. Unless, like, I don't believe in Jason Kidd, and Dallas doesn't seem quite right, and the differentials, where we started this conversation is that net rating's an indicator of what you're going to see in the future. Their net rating's terrible. And Portland's awful. And, like, defensively, they were totally awful against us.
Right.
Like, I'm not buying. The Clippers are stunningly bad offensively to what I thought they were going to be without Kawhi Leonard, so I'm really surprised by that. Denver's too injured. Sad, frankly.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I didn't like the Lakers when the year started, so they certainly haven't done anything to make me change my opinion.
All right, so I want to go back to the squirrel for a minute because
yeah, to Phil Henry. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. But
if we can go bounce around from squirrel to squirrel, like random thought, non connectors, I'll be super comfortable in this conversation.
It, yeah. And what I want to do with it though is I'm fascinated by your imitation of your own voice, like interviewing yourself. Like, how would you imitate your own voice? And I'm going to give you a question to answer.
Oh, that's interesting.
So you imitate you answering the question about if it was you.
I don't know if I can do that. I don't have that. I don't think that's in my skill set, unfortunately.
You can't do your own superlative voice of
it doesn't
yourself.
Matter what
no,
it, it doesn't
like,
matter what
have,
it is.
Like, I can't do Jim Gaffigan really, right? Like
go like a little
the
bit
inside
higher.
Voice. Like, oh, that's me. Like I don't have that. Like,
well, just go with your best shot here, because I'm fascinated by this. But the Jazz have some extra days off this week, right? So, and it's a fairly rare thing. What goes on during a season when a team has these extra days off? What's the value? What do they get out of these days?
I mean, I think it's pretty great, right? So Tuesday, they'll give them just day. Let's say they have 3 days without games, so you're gonna take day one. You're gonna just give them off, right, and not have to worry about it. Like they probably lost. I don't think they did. Some days they'll do it. They literally lock the gym.
Oh, wow.
And they tell the guys they're not allowed in under any circumstance. I think they did what they call is get your own day. So there's no expectation for you to come in, but you, if you have something you want, the coaches will be there to support you.
Right.
So let's say you want to work on your jumper or you need some training staff stuff or something like that. So that's what I think yesterday was. Today, I did not make practice. I try to all the time, but I did not today. I suspect my guy Ron Boone did. I would suspect they went pretty hard and pretty long. There's actually real value to kind of being at an every other day peak level. And so I would guess they really worked on whatever offensive and defensive tweaks Quinn wanted to work on. And frankly, those have been the same since the first day of training camp because they're all about the playoffs. They know what they're going to – how do you attack switching? What do you do when people take Rudy out of the middle? And they're getting better and better at it. The last five games, Rudy's defensive numbers are through the roof, and he's contesting four more shots a game than he was earlier this year. That's the Jazz adjusting defensively to bring Rudy back into the middle to impact shots. This is crazy, guys. In the last five games, Rudy Gobert's contested 21 shots a game. There's only 85.
Right. So he's doing. So
think about that for a second.
Yeah, just over.
The number
just over.
One plan of every team that comes into our building is to move
Rudy
Gobert away from the ball and then drive from the weak side so that Rudy's not there. So all they're trying to do every possession is make it so that Rudy does not have an impact, and he's impacting 20%, 25% of the shots.
It's
crazy.
Well, and you look at what he's. Weirdly enough, too, like we look at it and we go, man, Rudy's improved again. You know, even though the numbers, right. You look at it and you go, it's another year that he came back and we asked him to get to a different level and he's gotten to a different level. And so it's interesting that people still criticize the guy's game. I don't know exactly what they want to see out of him, but I mean, I think we're well on our way to seeing a guy who's probably going to be a Hall of Fame, you know, player at the end of his career.
I think he's already got Hall of Fame. I would suspect that three defensive players of the year. The real question at this point is just, you know, will he go down as the greatest defensive player of all time?
David Locke, you can hear him, of course, making all the calls right here on the Utah Jazz Radio Network for this Utah Jazz team, 14-7.
Scott, what you're looking for is like Conley right side. So I was wondering what a back over to Mitchell on the wing. That's what you want?
That was, you do a pretty good David Locke.
No, I was
so
Locke.
Like, so here, so this is how my
give me
brain
a scenario.
Works.
All right, let's
here's
hear.
My brain. How this is really how my brain would work. Okay, so Mitchell right wing goes into Gobert. Do you think it's going to snow anytime soon? I wonder if it'll snow. I think it's back up top to Conley, left side to Ingles. Ingles penetrates over to Bogdanovich. Do I have good powder skis this year? Bogdanovich's three is good. Wow, did I have ice cream? Did I have cookies? Where's my dessert? Oh, I've already had dessert. Yeah. But I could have another dessert. I worked out. Coming back the other way, Lillard. Lillard's 4 for 14 on the day. Okay, yeah, that's there you go. That's it right there.
Wait,
there
but you got to get Booner those in there the somewhere. Where's he fitting?
Yeah, you
in
go. You go. Boone, what do you think? He got it, David. Boom. Back to
yeah,
you.
Right. No, I mean, just ask Ron. I never let him talk anyway. Actually, I let him talk a ton compared to Hot Rod.
Yeah.
Like I got the worst job in the world in regards to being a play-by-play announcer that I'm following one of the greats of all time. And there's just a guaranteed, you know, 50% of the world will never like me because I'm not Hot Rod, which I respect too because I don't like me either compared to Hot Rod. But I have the greatest job in the world in regards to Booner because Booner worked with Hot Rod for all these years. He never let him talk. So, like, no matter what I do, Boone thinks I'm great.
Yeah, see, look at that. That's good stuff. All right, David Locke, you can hear him, of course, at the call on Friday as the Jazz welcome the Celtics into town. So we're looking forward to it.
By the way, I just have to give a shout-out to Scotty and Hans. Just to let them know that this came from the van. They'll understand what that means.
Okay.
We're back to van life. We're back to van life. I'm in the van down by the river.
Hashtag van life, living off of government cheese. We'll come. We'll take the break here. Thanks, Locke. We appreciate it.
See you guys.
We'll come back. We've got more to go here on the program. So there you go. These moments, they are squirrel moments that that David Locke has. Because if you do listen to the broadcast, my favorite is when he plays a clip. He goes, I got to play a clip. I got to play this clip of, you know, a player from their other team mentioning something, maybe one of their coaches. He'll play the clip. He bails on it early because the action is back.
Right.
And it's almost like he's mad. Like, get that stupid sound out of here that I wanted in the show. Get it out of here. We got to get right back to the action. My heavens. Three's good from the corner.
What do you think, Booner?
Uh-huh.
Boone does that laugh. You know, Boone does the laugh. He goes, he just laughs.
That's creepy.
When the three gets
that
hit.
That is creepy.
When the three gets hit, you listen. Booner is laughing. It's like an excited, like, that's amazing kind of a laugh. You got to listen for it. All right. We're going to get out to the phone lines here in just a second. We've got more to go on the program. Always love when David Locke joins, and every time he does, it's brought to you by the Murdoch Auto Group. That's our Jazz Insider segment right there for you. We've got much more to go.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.